Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Authors and Agents with Rose Quinn. Today I have the lovely author Miriam Saunders on the podcast with me today. She joins me to chat about her debut novel, Trouble with a Tiny T. We talk about her queering experience, her journey to being published. She shares some really great query tips and tells me a lot about her revision process. So I think you guys are really going to enjoy getting to know Miriam. Let's go ahead and get started. Miriam, can you tell me about your novel, Trouble with a Tiny T?
Yes, thanks for having me. I'd love to talk about my book. So this is a middle grade, and it is about a 11-year-old boy, Weston, who has ADHD and identifies as a boy who gets in trouble a lot because of his ADHD. And he stumbles upon a magic pouch at his grandparents' house that belonged to his missing uncle, and finds out that it's magic, but doesn't understand how to use it, and winds up accidentally creating a bunch of dangerous creatures that are battling in his bedroom, including a 10-inch high T-Rex and a bunch of green plastic army men whose heads the T-Rex has all bitten off, and eventually a 6-inch high Thor. And he can't figure out how to get rid of them, but ultimately discovers that his own talent, something he's really good at, is the solution to all of his problems. And it's a book about friendship too, because he's having a lot of problems with his friends at school, which is very common for kids with ADHD, but winds up developing a new friendship in the meantime.
Well, that's awesome. You know, I love the focus on his ADHD, and I'm assuming his, you know, his skill that he already has, he kind of has to overcome things to, you know, really work on that, and have that be the saving grace. But, you know, my daughter, she is autistic and has a lot of issues with focus. And, you know, at times her doctors have thought, you know, that she also has ADHD and that sort of thing. But, you know, I like the representation of these sorts of things, because there will be so many kids who have this same issue or a similar issue, you know, part of themselves, that they'll be able to look at that and see themselves in something, which is something we need more of, right?
Well, yeah, that's what I set out to do. So I'm a therapist, and I specialize in ADHD. I also happen to live with it. It's riddled across my family. I'm a parent of kids with ADHD. And as both a parent and a writer, and a therapist, rather, I couldn't really find middle grade books that represented kids with ADHD all that much, but also in sort of a fun way, so that it's not heavy and all about the ADHD. But what I really, really wanted was to show that so many children with ADHD wind up identifying so much with the challenges that they face, because they're told every day, you're doing it wrong, you're doing it wrong. And I wanted to highlight that so many of them also have skills and talents and really positive qualities that get overlooked. So with this character in particular, I really wanted to highlight that, you know, yeah, you get in trouble a lot, but look at how awesome you are this other thing, and how it winds up solving all your problems.
Yes, I think that's a good perspective, and you know, maybe, and hopefully will help, you know, change the conversation around it. You know, I think that's something that is important. We focus a lot, even, you know, internally, even if it's not an external source, you know, focusing on your negative traits, you know, internally, we just are so hard on ourselves, right? So it's always a good reminder, like, oh no, hey, I have this talent and this good thing that, you know, I can focus on and put a lot of myself into.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I hope that's the message that comes across.
Yes.
And I hope it's a fun ride for readers as well.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I love that. Well, tell me a little bit about your journey to this point, to having this book come out into the world.
I have always loved writing, but never really thought it was anything I was good at or could do in terms of getting something published. So I started out mostly just as a hobby for myself to see if I could write a book. And I wrote something, I wrote a YA that I thought was, you know, incredible because my mother said it was.
Right.
And it turns out it wasn't so good, but it started me on a journey of wanting to get better as a writer. And I eventually wrote this. I queried it a little bit, not extensively. I really was querying the YA that wasn't very good more. And I wound up going to a Big Sur Writers Conference that's hosted by the Andrea Brown Literary Agency. Mm-hmm. And lucked out in that Karen Wiseman, who was my dream agent to the point where I had printed out her picture and posted it on my wall. Ooh. In front of where I write. But I had never queried her because I didn't want to get rejected by her. She was one of my workshop facilitators. And she, so she got to hear the first 10 pages of this book. And this was like completely out of a dream, right? Because then a couple of hours later, I'm standing in the buffet line getting my lunch, and there's a tap on my shoulder, and it's her. And she said, "I want you to send me the full."
Wow.
And I just about fell over and died.
Yeah.
And that was that. She said, "Make sure it's really polished. Don't send it to me until you think it's done." So I waited about a month and sent it to her, and she responded within the week.
Wow.
Offering representation. Yeah. I almost cried, but, it wound up taking a while to get it published, actually. It came really close in the first year of submission at 3 different houses. It went to acquisitions, and they ultimately passed. And so it had a little bit of a bumpy journey until it finally found a home.
But
I'm super excited that it's going to be out in the world.
Yes, and I think, you know, every author goes through their stages of their publishing journey where there's like a bumpy ride, right? How amazing, though, that you had that interaction with her and that you connected in that way. That is so amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's a fun story. I like that it happened that way.
Yes.
And the funny thing is, in the meantime, I never set out to write a picture book. I never considered myself a picture book author, and I wound up writing one and sending it to her, you know, like kind of shyly, like, "Is there anything here?" And she said, "This is great. I know exactly where to send it." She sent it to one place and it got picked up. So I actually published 2 picture books before this one.
Wow. That is awesome. Yeah. It sounds like you found the right partner in your publishing journey for sure.
Yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit, you know, about the querying that you did do, and then, you know, how you approached it, and then maybe like your top tips for authors who are querying right now.
I used Query Tracker. Mm. I loved that program.
So good.
I haven't looked at it lately, so I don't know, you know, its bells and whistles now, but it was really helpful for me for organizing and finding agents. So I would send out in batches, usually, you know, maybe 6 to 10, and then wait to see if I got any feedback so that I could revise either the query or the pages I was sending out. And I'm pretty sure that's how my agent queries as well. She just sends in batches to publishers.
Mm-hmm.
I think, honestly, I feel like knowing how my agent looks at things, I think maybe writers spend a little bit too much time trying to perfect the query.
Hmm.
I don't know that that is really what agents care so much about. They're going to kind of glance and see if the subject that you're writing about is something they're interested in, and then they're going to shoot right to the pages that you included to see if the writing is there. And if you know how to grab a reader right away. So I think I would definitely say to focus more on your actual writing than stressing so much about whether your query is awesome.
I think that's a really good reminder, because I think that you're right. We do place so much like stress and worry and time on the query letter. And, you know, you want your query letter to do its job, to entice somebody to read more. But the query letter is not what's going to sell the agent on your book. It's the actual book that's going to sell them on it. So you got to make sure, that your writing is up to snuff and that you are, you know, making sure that your novel is exactly as polished and as good as it can be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Don't send anything out before you're really sure, because you only get fresh eyes once.
Yes, you do. And I have definitely made that mistake. And I've heard from many other authors too, that, you know, you get so excited and you're like, oh, this is totally ready. This is like the best thing I've ever written. And you query and then you're like, oh no, what did I do?
Yeah. And I know so many authors that spend so much time making sure the first 10 pages are awesome.
Right.
That, you know, but it can't just be the first 10, because that might get you the full request, but if the rest of the book isn't as sharp, then that will disappoint the agent.
If they hit page 11 and it's totally different and unpolished, they're gonna be like, oh wait, there's something wrong here. Well, my next question is a two-parter. I'd love to know what the hardest part of writing is for you and the hardest part of being an author.
I love writing so much, so I feel so fortunate too that I get to do this. I guess revision would be the hardest part of writing for me. First drafts are so fun because I just get to write whatever I want and create anything, and everything I write first pass, I'm so excited about. I would say that first drafting for me right now, the hardest part is staying focused on one project. I have a tendency to be driving in my car and have this wild idea and start to like imagine what the character would be like, and I need to get it out of me before it disappears, and then all of a sudden I'm down this rabbit hole of another project when I really should be finishing the one I'm working on now. So I have, you know, probably 5 different books that I'm working on all at the same time, and it's not, I don't recommend it.
No.
So that's probably one of my biggest challenges, is focus.
Oh yeah. And I think, I mean, I struggled with that the latter half of 2020. I had 2 great ideas and I kept like going back and forth. I'd spend like a week on one and then go to the other and then get an idea for the other one. And I finally had to be like, okay, hold on. Like, let's just finish one and then go to the other. But it is so hard when you know, are so excited about, you know, both of them or all 5 of them. And I think as writers too, we constantly get new ideas for stories. I mean, you know, you're walking down the street and you hear something or you see something. I mean, I feel like I'm always writing in my notes on my phone, like, oh, this would be the best book ever.
Yeah, exactly.
It can be hard. Well, what about the author side of things? What's the hardest part of that for you?
Oh my gosh. Someone once made the analogy to me that being an author is like being pregnant and then having the baby when the book is published, because there's so much focus on getting the agent and then getting the publisher that you think that once the book is out in the world, that's the end of the story, but oh my gosh, it's not. So for me, the hardest part is self-promotion and doing what I need to do to get the book out there, because publishers their marketing budgets are thin. And it's not the publishing industry of the olden days where you get sent on tours or around the country, and there's so much that we have to do, and I'm kind of an introvert by heart. I'm not great at self-promotion. I find that really difficult.
You're definitely not alone in that. I hear that from lots of other authors, that I too am definitely, I like to call myself an extroverted introvert, but that's only like at certain times. Like I love to be social and I love to chat with people, but then afterwards I like need to go lay in a room alone by myself and not talk to anybody.
Yes, yes. You have a lot in common, you
yes,
and me.
Yes.
And I love hyping other people's things, so I'm not shy about public speaking or yeah, there's just something about like, hey, look at what I did. I wrote a book. It's really great. Yeah. Everyone should read it. Ugh.
Yeah, no, it can feel like I get nervous. I'm like, oh, please read this, or
And
please.
the therapist in me just earnestly wants to get this book into the hands of kids because I really think it will help them.
Oh,
You know, I'd
yeah.
almost just love to like give away copies if I could, just because I want to help as many people as I can.
Of course. I mean, yeah, I can see with your profession that that would be a desire for sure. Well, let's flip this question. Instead of the hardest part, what is the best part of being a writer and being an author for you?
Well, the best part about being a writer is the fun. Like, I get to create any kind of
Yes.
world and make people in that world do what I want them to do. You know, it's just this puppet master, powerful feeling, and it's really fun. And then the best part about being an author for me, in particular with the subject matter that my first three books happened to have focused on, is when I hear from parents or kids that it really helped them. That just brings tears to my eyes to hear that.
I mean,
So,
I think
yeah.
that that is like the goal, right, of being an author is to have something special to you that you write, and then having it somebody else, a reader, connect with it, somebody you wouldn't ever meet or ever know. I mean, I can, only imagine how special that is, and especially something like this, where you have a desire to help, people with ADHD and young kids be able to, maybe see themselves in a different light is very special. Let's see. The next one, I'd love to know about your writing style. So, do you, when you're drafting, you say that you love it, you love that part, the first draft. Do you lean more towards the pantser side, the planner side, or somewhere in between?
I'm absolutely a planner. I'm in awe of pantsers, and I don't understand how they can do it. So I really need to know where I'm going, how I'm going to end the whole book, and then I will usually pants the chapter itself or the scene itself. So that takes me by surprise, and sometimes the characters wind up doing things that I didn't intend. That's always really fun. Yeah, but I have to outline the whole book before I can go.
And when you outline, do you stick to your outline, like the first one that you do, or does it kind of change as you go along?
I usually stick to it in the first draft for the most part, but it might wind up changing in revision if, something doesn't work. Yeah, but I stick to it for the most part.
I am a total. Well, I'm kind of in the middle, but I do pants a lot of what I write. So I envy planners. I'm like, I wish I could plan it all out. And I feel like that'd be so much easier than what I do. But there is, I don't know. I just can't. I if I plan it all out, I just won't even write the book because then I feel like I've already written it.
Interesting. Yeah, I can see that.
But I like this question because we all do it a little bit differently, and yet we all end up at the same finish line, right? Like we all get our books written. Well, my next question, I'd love to know when your love of writing began.
My love of writing began from my love of reading, most likely. I was a big reader as a kid, and when I was 10, I read a book called Magnificat, and I loved it so much. My mom found me crying in bed one night reading
Oh.
it, and she said, "Why don't you write a letter to the author and let her know how much you loved it?" And she wound up writing back. Her name was Carolyn Sheehan. And I guess she must not have gotten a lot of fan mail because we wound up becoming pen pals
Wow.
to the degree where I was writing to her almost on a daily basis, and she would write back.
That's amazing.
At first, our cats wrote to each other. And then during my teen years, when I was having a lot of family issues, she almost became like a talking diary for me, really, really helping me through. And then when I was in after college, I decided to go meet her because I grew up in Boston and she lived in California. And on my way to go see her, I met my husband on an airplane. So
What?
She was very impactful to my life, but probably through, you know, just knowing an author and writing to one almost every day of my childhood. I wanted, I was curious about this writing thing.
Oh my gosh, that is the best story ever. Your story for getting finding your agent and that story. I just can't believe it. That is so cool. I mean, I think, I definitely was a reader first, and I don't ever remember not reading and not loving books, and my desire to write came from that as well. I mean, how cool that your mom, gave you that idea to write to her, and then it kind of all spurred everything else. Meeting your husband and being a writer yourself, that is so cool.
And the really fun thing is after I became an adult in my late 20s, I wound up moving to California, and she moved to Northern California. We wound up living about an hour apart from each other, and I saw her frequently until she died at the age of 91 when I was pregnant with my third child.
Oh my gosh, she was like part of your family at that point, I'm sure. Wow, that is so cool. I don't even know how to end, like, move on from that. My mind is just blown. That is so special. My next question, you said you didn't, you like drafting the most, but what does your revision process look like? Like, now, of course, you have your amazing agent and your editors who you work with, right? But what do you do before you send your work to your agent to make sure it's like in tip-top shape?
Well, I will often send her the first 10 to 25 pages of something I'm working on with a rough outline, just to say, hey, does this sound like something that has, you know, teeth, before I will write the whole book, because there are times when she's said, no, this doesn't work. And so she saved me from, you know, months of wasting time. And then once I get the green light from her, I keep going. And I usually read the first, like the last 5 pages of whatever I wrote the day before I keep going, and I'll, revise them a little bit. And then when I'm done, I go back and line edit. I don't worry about whether I've, I'm showing or telling in the first draft. I just get it out of me. And then I go back and make all the language beautiful and, try to see if there are any holes. But after the second pass, I usually become pretty blind to the book. Like, I can't see where it's not working anymore, and that's when I need my beta readers. So I have some trustworthy other writer friends who we all just swap each other's work, and they're pretty cruel and vicious.
Which is what you want them to be.
And they'll help me shape it into something until we all feel like, okay, it's time to send it to the agent. And the hard thing is, usually she likes it. So I have a couple of other middle grades on sub. But this past year, I wrote something that I love that she's not feeling as much. So I'm not giving up on it yet, but it's the first time we've butted heads, where I don't necessarily agree with the revisions she wants me to make. So we'll see what happens with that one.
That can always be hard. It's always hard to get, have that reaction, or, to get a hard edit letter with decisions and, critiques, that you don't. That you're not a fan of. I've received an edit letter where it was like, okay, this is working, but this one part isn't working and you should take it out. And that one part was like my whole favorite part of the book. And I'm like, why do you do this to me?
The kill your darlings thing.
Yes.
But most of the time, even though it's so painful, the suggestions that she makes wind up with a better manuscript for sure. But then, it doesn't end there either. Then you send it off to the publisher, and if it gets picked up, oh my gosh, you're going to have to attack that poor manuscript one more time.
Yeah, because
Or three more times.
the editor could have different things that they see. And I think, part of being an author, and especially one where you're going this route where you want to be published, you have to realize it's going to change, right? You do need to still have I think, stick to your guns a little bit on what you know is right for your story, but also recognize that these people who are working with you just want to make it the best it can be. They're not trying to, like, destroy it or take something away, you know? They are trying to help you and to make it even better.
Yes. That was a lesson I felt really grateful to learn early on, was that if I found myself ever having to defend what I wrote to somebody who read it, then I didn't do my job well. Like, it just, whatever my intention was in writing, it didn't come across to the reader if I was getting consistent feedback that it wasn't working. So rather than try to explain, like, well, you know, this is what I meant and this is why it has to stay this way, I would really just say, nope, it's not working. So I've got to figure out how to make my intentions become more clear.
Definitely. And yeah, I think it is something we have to learn as authors. But yeah, I feel like the sooner you can learn it, it's probably for the better in your career, right?
Yep.
Well, wonderful. Thank you for sharing that process with me. I have just one final question for you. I have been told numerous times it is a super hard question, so I do apologize. But I would love to know what your favorite book is right now. This is not your favorite book of all time, because that's just a silly question, but something you've read recently that you, like, can't stop talking to people about.
Well, can I give you two?
Because of course.
One is a middle grade. That's not a recent book. I just happened to have read it recently. It's Walk Two Moons by Sharon Creech. I just loved that book, and I love her writing style and how it was a story within a story. I love that book. But then an adult book I read recently, which is was really fun, was called The Southern Girl's Guide to How to Slay a Vampire.
Oh, I've heard, somebody else has given me this book. Heard about
it. It's quirky, and just for me, it combines humor with paranormal, which, you know, given that I've written a book about dinosaurs coming to life in a child's bedroom, that's my sweet spot.
I love it. Well, thank you for those recommendations. I mean, we miss so many books, right? Like, so many books come out every week and have come out that we inevitably miss. So I love being able to share ones that, you know, we loved.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Yes. All right, Miriam, thank you so much for chatting with me today and telling us all about Trouble with a Tiny T, letting me and my listeners get to know you as, you know, a person and as an author.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor, and happy reading.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. If you could please rate and review this wherever you're listening, that would be amazing. Make sure you are subscribed so you don't miss any episodes. And follow me on Instagram and Twitter @RoseQuinny, QUINNY.